I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? This coming Monday, March 28th, that's 2022, in case you happen to be listening in future, will be 5 years since my father died. And in today's episode, I want to share a few thoughts that I have on grief. And keep in mind that grief is not just about death in the sense of a person dies. We experience grief in everything in life because in gain there is loss. We are always shifting, we are always evolving. And so in the process of that, we have to let go of certain things. And also because as humans, we want to be, do and have certain things that we feel really matter to us. And sometimes we're not going to be, do and have all of those things, and we will have to grieve that. And sometimes we will get exactly what it is that we said that we wanted to be, do and have, and we're going to have to grieve that too, because it turns out that there were certain things that weren't quite us. We're always grieving. We are sometimes hankering for the person that we believed we were in the past. There are some of us who think that the best of us has gone by, that when we were a kid, that's when things were best. Or when we were of a certain age, it's like, oh my gosh, like I was amazing then. And now it's just like on a total downer. And then there were some of us who, and I would have definitely experienced this, where we've had to grieve for the person that we didn't get to be, like the kid we didn't get to be, the childhood we didn't get to have, the parent that we've believed we were supposed to have instead of the one that we actually got. So there's, yeah, a lot of grieving. We thought we would be maybe somewhere else by now. We thought we would have achieved certain things. We never imagined that we would not have certain relationships with us. We didn't think that we would outgrow a certain friendship. We didn't think that we would no longer really be spending time around that certain friend or family member. We always imagined maybe that we would stay in exactly the same place and want to do exactly the same things. And then maybe we've discovered that actually we have other things that we want to do, a different career, a different interest, a different something. Maybe we imagined that we were going to be a parent, but we're not. Maybe we imagined that we were going to be married forever, but we're not. Maybe we imagined that we would be in a relationship by now, but we're not. Maybe we imagined that we would have ourselves sorted by now, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, and we're not. And I know from personal experience that sometimes you have those moments where you're like, Jesus, am I seriously still thinking about this? Does this thing seriously still bother me? Why is my flipping childhood still coming up? How am I experiencing feelings about abandonment again? Oh gosh, here we go again. Feeling like an outsider, feeling excluded. Oh, why do I have to have daddy issues? Why do I have to have mommy issues? Why do I still keep trying? Why do I care so much about that thing? This is life. And something I know for sure about grieving, and I've talked about this in various episodes that I've done over the last few years about grief, so I'll make sure I link to these in the show notes, which will be at baggagereclaim.co.uk/256, is that we like to think of grief, of our feelings, of something we're struggling with, as something that we tie up really neatly in a bow. We experience the thing. We experience the loss. We grapple with a myriad of emotions. And then once we've done that, then they're supposed to like go away and not come back. But to assume this, so to assume that grief is linear, and to assume that this is the way that we can treat our feelings and that we can treat our very real and human experiences, is to assume that we know the totality of what we feel and what we've experienced. It's to assume that we can look at something and be like, oh yeah, I felt and fought everything that I need to about that thing. And so instead, what I know for sure is that we grieve from different angles. And what this means is that, yeah, we go through the immediate aftermath. We go through, yeah, that first year where it's all firsts, you know, the first birthday, the first Christmas, the first whatever of dealing with this thing. And that's not just about death. We can find that we're like, oh, this is the first time that I am like going out to this particular thing since I broke up with my ex, or the first time since I was made redundant, or the first time since I went through that miscarriage. So we have this sort of set of firsts that we're going through. And then we reach this point where it's like, oh my gosh, like it's a year since that thing happened. And there's a part of us that maybe is like, well, it's been a year. And we then expect ourselves to sort of get on with things. We think that there's only a certain amount of time that we're supposed to struggle. At the same time, there can also be a part of us that feels weird about being okay at times. Like it's almost like, oh, this was a terrible thing. Why am I laughing? Why am I happy doing this thing? So then we have to try and make ourselves miserable. But grief isn't linear. And we also grieve from different angles. So we will experience grief coming up because of the anniversaries and the birthdays and the special occasions and the memories and the photos, and something just suddenly springs to mind. We see something and we're transported back. But other times we will be surprised by grief because it seems like whatever it is that has set us off bears no relevance, you know, bears no connection to the person or the thing that we're grieving. So it's like, why the hell do I feel like I am right back there in the midst of grief all over again? All because like the celebrity died, or something big is happening in the news, like pandemic or war, or because I've had a fallout with a friend, or because I'm feeling really happy. And what that does is that when we find ourselves experiencing grief in ways that we don't feel that we should be, it's an invitation for us to grieve more deeply, to grieve from a different angle, to see things that we haven't, well, seen yet. And what that's meant for me is that 5 years down the line, I have found myself thinking a lot about not just the 4-year estrangement that occurred between myself and my father before he was diagnosed with cancer, but actually just my father's general absence in mine and my brother's life. Yeah, there were times when he was there in our early years, but he let us down and wasn't around in a lot of ways. They say that abandonment is like, you know, if you have a building, you know, you have a property that you own it, and then you decide to just like leave it, to relinquish your responsibility, your interest in that property. That's what happens to some of us as kids. Sometimes, yeah, even as adults, that a person just seems to, because we're not seeing them, we're not hearing them, we're not experiencing them. This person isn't stepping up to their responsibilities and isn't taking an interest. And we don't expect that to happen to us as kids. And sometimes, as was the case of us, the person just passes the responsibility on to someone else. And that doesn't make sense to a kid. It doesn't. And I one of the things that I think that I see people do is we rightly recognize the truth of what was going on. So we recognize that our parents, the people around us, whoever it was, they're not infallible. They are humans and they had their own backstory. Both of my parents experienced abandonment and my mom's mom experienced abandonment. And then my great grandmother did and so on and so on. So there's a whole pattern there. There's a whole set of reasons that explain why we experienced what we did. And also, we are allowed to hurt because even though there are reasons, it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. And so we can acknowledge all of that without denying how painful that must have been for that little kid. And we can live our lives in a way now that makes us feel more safe and secure because we don't abandon ourselves, because we are a safe person for ourselves, and because we are around people that don't cause us to feel unsafe, that don't cause us to be on guard. And also because we are actively addressing what's coming up for us. We are addressing our emotional baggage. We're recognizing how it's showing up and we're breaking that cycle. So we can do all of those things, but there will be a part of us that will never quite be fully okay, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, with the fact that our parent or parents or whoever it was let us down in the way that they did. We can be far more truthful about those events. We can stop making those events about us being worthy enough. So, you know, my entire childhood and a big chunk of my adulthood was on some level feeling that I was unworthy, that I'm not good enough to be tried for. I'm not good enough for him to try. I'm not good enough for him to take an interest in me. I'm not good enough to get an explanation. And when I explored, you know, revisited my feelings about my father and actually my mother through unsent letters recently. And you, if you've been following me for a long time, will know that journaling is a big part of the work that I do. I'm a big believer in the power of journaling and using that to connect with our inner stories, with our feelings, but also to connect with our true selves. And so I wrote a guide called the Unsent Letter Guide. I think it's probably about 15 years old now, and it's been downloaded so many times, and I'll make sure I link to it. But it teaches about using the process of letter writing as a way to bring your true feelings about something or someone to the surface, and using writing that letter to that person and writing out the story of what happened, what you're feeling, why, and gaining perspective in that process as a way to purge so these unprocessed feelings, to purge this ungrieved grief. And so, of course, you know, I live by what I share. So I, on top of going back to journaling pretty much every day, I have recently written some unsent letters. And what was so interesting was that when you do an unsent letter, I really encourage that you read it back to yourself out loud. And I realized that the sticking point, that thing that will be there, that anger, I guess, that hurt, is, and it's about the people pleasing, really. The sense that I could have a father who I had experienced so much pain over throughout my childhood and into adulthood, and I do one thing to upset him. And that was the wedding. And that was where, after his silence for, I don't know, 18 months, I went ahead with the decision to ask my stepfather to walk me down the aisle. And a month before the wedding, it all unleashed into a whole thing. And in the end, it got resolved. Both of them walked me down the aisle. But afterwards, my father, in his hurt, he distanced himself and he cut me off. He didn't intend for it to be a 4-year-long thing, but it is what it is. But what I acknowledged in connecting with those hidden feelings, those things that you kind of go, oh, yeah, it's okay, is actually that I get his hurt. I get why all of those things happened. But I was deeply, profoundly hurt by the spectacular rejection that I experienced from him and almost the entire side of that family, bar my sisters and my stepmother. One thing, and at that point it was like 35 years, one thing, this person had hurt me so many times, let me down so many times. And then as I was writing about this, I was like, oh, I see it. The people pleasing. Because you spend your life being and doing all the things that you think will allow you to get attention, affection, approval, love, and validation, and that will also limit or outright avoid conflict, criticism, rejection, disappointment, loss, and abandonment. And you don't necessarily realize how that stops you from being who you really are. Because on some level, you're afraid that if you don't do these things, that you're going to be hurt again, that you're going to be rejected again, that you will be abandoned, not realizing actually how the people pleasing is making you abandon yourself. But it's also really reinforcing all of that old pain, because we're basically saying to ourselves, well, it's your fault. You're responsible for all of this. And if you don't manage their feelings and behavior, you know that you can be out. You can be kicked out. You can be dismissed. And I had, on some level, always known that if I was ever really vocal about the extent of the loss, the pain that myself and my brother had experienced, that it wouldn't go down well with my family, because we're not a family who talks about stuff. And the entire family had spent decades really pretending that what had happened hadn't happened. And my anger is actually really about, I've been a good girl. You haven't been a good father. And I screw up one time by being the fullest version of my authentic self and doing what I know is absolutely right for me, and you punish me for years. And then you come back with flipping cancer and die 10 months later. And I have to be okay with that. And I share all of this really to say that grief is not neat and tidy. Especially for those of us who are, I guess, the others, people who don't fit neatly into the grief narrative. People get it when your parents are around, the relationship was loving, you know, whether it was romantic, familial, friendship, whatever it was, people get that. What people don't get is when your parents weren't around, or when they mistreated you, when they neglected you, when they failed you in a multitude of ways. They don't get it if you were estranged and then they're gone and you are grappling with the feelings around that. They don't quite know what to do with that. And the grief narrative doesn't really take us into account. It's for neat grief, things that fit into a neat narrative. It's not for this is how my father was, or this is how my mother was. Like, there are people out there who have to try to figure out, like, how do I make my peace grieving somebody who, when they were here, they were really cruel to me, or they weren't around, or they didn't even really like me. And now everybody's like, oh, but that's your mother, or that's your father, or that's your whatever it was. So we are the others, because we don't fit neatly into that narrative. And on top of that, whether we fit into the narrative or not, there is this sense of grief has a time limit on it. So there's a time limit about how public facing your grief can be. You're allowed to be upset in the aftermath, but there's a point, and it can vary depending on culture and who you're around, but there's a point where people are like, okay, but can we just kind of get back to business as usual now? Where people don't necessarily want to talk about it, acknowledge it, where people will start to feel like you're being weird if you display upset. There's also, however, on the flip side, that regardless of whatever the deal was between us and the other person, there's also an expectation that you must show outward feelings of grief and discomfort about somebody passing, even if actually your feelings are quite complicated around that. And so I've had people say to me, you know, people found out that my father passed away, or my mother, and I wasn't close with them. I hadn't seen them for however long. And people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, okay, yeah, okay. And then you realize that they're looking at you because they want you to have like an emotional display. I remember my brother saying to me that when people found out that our dad had passed away, that he started to feel like a sociopath, because they were wanting him to basically perform grief feelings. So people want us to perform in the aftermath, and then they want us to perform at being okay. So perform at grieving in a way that feels socially acceptable, and then perform at being okay when they've decided, okay, I've kind of had enough of dealing with your feelings. And then on top of that, when you are like me and you're one of the others and you don't fit neatly into a box and you don't have necessarily a whole lifetime of memories to draw upon, you can feel like an outsider in amongst a whole group of people who are grieving about the same person. And those people won't necessarily want you to be totally honest about who you are and how you feel, because that doesn't fit with the way that they want to remember the person. And then on the flip side, again, for those of us who are the others, and this can happen to us not just when the person has died, but in life as well, we might have people in our life who do not want us to think positively about this person. So I know my mother would probably like be not impressed with me saying this, but honestly, sometimes it has felt over these 5 years that my mother is resentful, jealous of my father getting to be dead. And so people get to speak positively about him. I now have a dead father. And it's like, it's not a competition. But when we have parents who aren't together, parents who don't like each other, whatever we want to call it, and then one of them passes away, the people pleaser in you, or the recovering people pleaser in you, does find themselves in this gray area where you know what you're feeling and what you're grappling with, but you're now sometimes feeling as if you have to tiptoe around the other person's feelings because you don't want to invite conflict, you don't want to invite judgment, and it's all just so flipping exhausting. And that's something that came up in my unsent letters, where it's like, Jesus, it's not my flipping fault that the two of you didn't work out. It's not my fault that you two made your choices. And yet here I am 45 years on, and I still have to deal with your emotions about how you each feel about each other, or how you feel that we should be despite what each of you have done. I share all of this really as a reminder that grief is grief. And of course, we share components of grief with others, but our grief is our own. Sometimes it can feel incredibly lonely with grief. And it's okay, whether it is about the passing of somebody, the passing of something, the death of a hope, a dream, a situation that did not go the way that we thought it should. It's okay to admit that we are struggling with that. find our person, find our people that we can talk to about that. Doesn't even necessarily have to be a big thing where it's like you want to go and pour out everything about it. But sometimes we need to remind people that we're struggling, that we lost something or someone, and that, yeah, a lot of the time, yeah, we are okay, probably great even, but sometimes we're not. Grief is grief, and it will take a multitude of forms in our lifetime. And we will learn to live with grief. We will actually experience a lot of joy. We will feel so much more than we ever felt before. And we will feel so much more present to life if we allow ourselves to. We don't have to cling to the identity of being abandoned, of grieving, of being an outsider, of whatever it is that grief brings up for us. Because sometimes as well, what happens is that we feel bad for feeling okay. So then we feel as if we have to go down a rabbit hole thinking about certain things so that we don't feel okay. We sometimes feel bad because we feel guilty that we have a life. And then sometimes we feel bad because it's like, oh, I'm actually more okay than I thought I would be. And I don't want to let this person off the hook. But these are the ways in which we gaslight ourselves and self-sabotage. And so we need to be careful of that. We don't have to perform at grief. We don't have to perform at being a certain type of person. We are alive. So that means that as much as we may experience joy and so much else, we will also grieve. Sometimes it will be active grief. It will be very present. We will be very aware that we are grieving, that we have lost something, even if we've also gained some things in the process. And other times it will be more of a passive grief. It's in the background. And in the process of living our life, we are dealing with it in little ways. Sometimes we barely even notice that we grieved something, but we did. And we as a society have been socialized and conditioned to be disassociated from our feelings. So it is really no wonder that we have a complicated relationship with grief. But we have to recognize where we are hurting ourselves by not allowing us to recognize not just where we have lost, but also where we have gained. That's why it's so important to feel our feelings where we can, to process where we can, because then we gain the perspective. Then we get to forgive ourselves, because ultimately, whatever anger we feel about something or someone else is always pointing back at anger that we feel towards ourselves. And whenever we can gain perspective, we get to let go of narratives that are cruel to us, old judgments, old misunderstandings. We also get to let go of old boundaries, old fuzzy boundaries that really weren't working for us, so that we can shift into a more loving, caring, trusting, and respectful place. There are times with grief where we will feel like crap when we expect to feel like crap. And there are times when we will feel okay when we expect to feel okay. And there are times when we will feel okay when we don't expect to feel okay. And there are times when we will feel like crap when we least expect it. Hello, grief. Grief is grief. And we, as humans, want to control the uncontrollable, but we can't. Definitely not with grief. Grief forces us to surrender. Grief forces us to become more comfortable than we imagine that we could be with uncertainty. It forces us over time to become more present. Grief will clear a lot out for us, because in the process of confronting whatever it is that we are grieving, we also confront so many other things that we haven't confronted before, our ungrieved grief. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, know that you are not alone. Know that you can feel this, that you can move through this, and that you will be okay. Know that people can be more than one thing. Situations can be more than one thing. And so you can have anger and also miss or love or care about a person. Grief can be more than one thing. You can be more than one thing. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. If you'd like to say hi, or you want to let me know what you thought of an episode or of the show in general, or you'd like to suggest a topic, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm at NatLue. That's NatLue. You can find links to it and my other social channels in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/256. There is a full list of episodes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast. And if you've enjoyed the show and you haven't done so already, I would love it if you could subscribe in whichever podcast player that you're listening in. And if you could take another moment to rate and review the show, that would also be fab, because it all helps with spreading the word. The Baggage Reclaim Sessions doesn't feature external advertising. So if you're enjoying what I share on here and you'd like to support, you can do so by checking out the blog. I have classes, I have courses, and I've also got my books and audio series. And you can find all of these on the main website at baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com.